A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Zone Time. It's a very special week for this great show because 1 year ago this week, this show came to life. And 1 year later, Yahoo Sports said, hey, we're still keeping this going. So we're really appreciative of the fact that everyone is here to support us. I'm Julian. Avery is here. Sam from the broadcast is here. And Omar from In the Mentions, who in his latest episode says you should believe in the Toronto Maple Leafs. Against all odds, you should believe in them. Welcome, yeah, friends.
I may. See, I said that. And then after I said that, I was like, I wonder if I shouldn't have said that.
I was going to say, that's the opposite. That's the opposite of what Omar says on this show every week.
Yeah. Why did you change your mind?
Because, listen, man, I'm a Leafs fan. And see, what I was trying to channel was how usually, like, this is the year where I can definitively say, and you always ask me, Julian, you know, like who are you comfortable with the Leafs facing? And as a bit, I say no one, but actually, like, I see every opponent that we can possibly face, and I'm not too sure how we do. Carolina, Florida, Tampa, you know? So, and I think that might work in the Leafs' favor this time, that they are, that everyone is expecting them to lose. And also, if they do lose, everyone expects big things to take place. So perhaps that double negative can work out. I don't know, man. The bar
you're
is
hedging like just your bets, essentially. So you're going on In the Mentions saying, like, I believe in this team, and you're being self-deprecating and going against that on this show.
No. I generally, after the deadline, I guess we'll get in more into it. As we talk on.
We will.
I do feel good about the team. I genuinely do. But am I completely like confident that nothing will go wrong? I don't know. But I genuinely do feel good about the team. I really do. I think it's just like, you know, Omar's from the past are just saying like, oh, remember the last time you believed. So, yeah, so I genuinely do believe that I think they can get something done. But I think I'm trying to, like, also protect my optimism as well. So
that's cute. Anyway, before we'll let you talk more about the Leafs in a moment when we get to the trade deadline stuff. But we should mention, as of this recording right now, there's like one trade that still is kind of hanging in the balance a little bit. It's very possible it could be rendered null and void by the time this is out. But Evgeny Dadonov was traded from the Vegas Golden Knights to the Anaheim Ducks, or so we thought. It seems as if the Anaheim Ducks were on Dadonov's no trade list. It's like 10 teams long. And when he was dealt to Vegas from Ottawa, Vegas at that point had no idea. They say they had no idea of the teams on this list, or if he had a no trade list at all. And then tried to, you know, be cute and offload Evgeny Dadonov. So I'd like to get your thoughts on this. I'll start with the lawyer of all four of us, the smartest one of all of us, Sam. What do you think of this horrible malpractice?
I think this is incredibly funny for pretty much everyone except for Evgeny Dadonov. Like, I feel bad for him because he's in a lose-lose situation. He either has to go back to Vegas, the team that was trying to get rid of him, or he has to go to the team that was on his no trade list. Like, that sucks objectively. The thing that blew my mind was looking at the language of the clause. it says that his agent had to give his list by a certain date to the club, but the contract doesn't say who in the club, by email, by fax, by letter. Like, it provides no details about what to the club means, which is like drafting 101. If you're a lawyer, like, that is the number one thing you look at. So to me, when you think about how clubs draft their contracts, that provides a lot of ambiguity. And I think that's where you get problems like this. Like, I think Elliot Friedman reported that there's paperwork to show that the agent did provide the list on time. So okay. I guess the question is, did Ottawa register the list with the NHL Central Registry? Did the NHL Central Registry just lose it and forget about it? And also, why did Vegas just accept from a phone call that the list had expired? Like, don't you think if you were a Golden Knights lawyer or management, you'd like ask to see the contract and confirm for yourself? I mean, I think that's what I would do, but
that's common sense. It's common sense. Avery, what do you think?
What's the old saying? Common sense ain't so common. Like, I don't like, it's a good point in that. How do you not double check to make sure all the checks and balances have been taken care of if you're the Golden Knights? But also, it would be so NHL if the NHL lost this list. It would be so NHL if they didn't have this list. Like, you wouldn't see, this would not happen in the NBA or in the NFL. It straight up would not happen at all.
Someone made the point to me the other day, if this was in a lower league, or someone tried to also make the point that if this happened in like whatever the PHF or the PWHPA, whatever they come up with, if it happened in one of those two leagues, a lot of people would be railing on them for incompetence.
Oh yeah.
Like, I think criticism would be really bad for those two leagues if it happened anywhere there, not to mention the players for sure would speak out about this, but it would be so much worse. The blowback would be so much, we wouldn't be laughing. I don't think we'd be laughing there.
No, not at all. And I think it does, to that point, it does show the double standard. Like, I could see all the tweets like, oh, poverty league, and this is why people don't want to put funds into it and stuff. But then you see a league that claims to be professional, and this is happening. It's just like, I mean, objectively, which is weird, like, objectively, this is hilarious. But again, I think to Sam's point, it is a horrible situation for Dadonov, especially considering the fact that when you're in a position to negotiate a contract, and especially when you're a player that, wants clauses, wants some control, we literally just saw players making use of their clauses to really dictate where they can go. We saw Claude Giroux pretty much saying, hey, I'm only going to Florida, and that's it. We've seen, Mark Giordano pretty much use his clause to kind of dictate, coming to Toronto. So if I'm a player, whether I'm on Vegas or whatever, I'm seeing this and I'm like, yo, like, can this happen to me? Or like, so it can't be good. Like, this is another thing, another loss for the NHL. And a lot of people are focusing on Vegas, focusing on Ottawa. Definitely, sure, okay. But like, this is a league issue. The fact this is happening in a professional sports league that claims to try to, be doing better every single year on top of the multitude of things that we talk about, officiating on one end and player safety and discipline and whatever. There's just so many things that like the NHL just like throws eggs in its face like every single time. So like the fact that this is happening is just like another check mark, another star, just to show that the NHL isn't as great they think they are. And like, man, this is just,
I mean, Omar,
this is wild.
Even if the trade had gone through, even if this issue didn't exist, you're talking about a league where they fined the Devils for the Kovalchuk contract. The Canucks are still paying the Luongo recapture, but somehow the Vegas Golden Knights can acquire Ryan Kessler's contract when he retired 3 years ago. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The fact that can be, the fact that Kessler's deal could be traded. The fact that Pavel Datsyuk's deal could be traded. The fact that Chris Pronger's contract could still be moved. Like, that is comedy right there in action.
Yeah, and how
Brian Little's contract was moved,
and how like random contracts can just be terminated, and we're just like, okay, like remember when Mike Richards' contract got terminated, and we're just like, okay, like, and we're just like, all right. But then when other teams are like in cap crisis, and then other things gone on, then people want to talk about it. Or like the fact that, like, listen, man, it's in the CBA, you can do the rule for sure, 100%. The fact that now it's becoming a thing where teams are purposely letting players be injured to give themselves more cap for the playoffs. Like, again, I'm not complaining. Like, you know, it's in the CBA, whatever, like, you know, use it to your advantage. But like the fact that all these things are happening and like it's not being fixed, like the league's a joke, man. And I don't know what it's going to take for them to sit down and have an honest conversation and say, hey, listen, we suck. What can we do? And I think until they have that honest conversation, then, you know, and the NHL as a league isn't going to be taken seriously.
You are never going to get Bettman to acknowledge that they suck.
Oh, of course.
No.
Hey, I mean, they have the best officials in
the best sports. Refs.
Freaking give me a break.
I mean,
the best refs. It's a joke in itself.
They're the same league where Bettman openly said himself, only the media wants a site with access to player contracts. Okay. Fans don't want that. What? What do you mean fans don't want access to advanced stats or player contracts? Like, what are you talking about?
Cap friendly, like before the deadline every year, they have to ensure their servers are okay because the site crashes because so many people are there. Armchair GM is one of the most used things on the internet, man. Freaking people are on the bio calendar like more times than I can count. Like, what are you talking about?
When I was on the Yahoo Sports Hockey podcast with Cuthbert over the weekend and we were doing our regular Sunday show, we did it in the afternoon because, you know, trade deadline stuff. At one point on Cap Friendly, beyond the homepage, the most popular page on their website was for Travis Hamonic. People use the shit out of that website.
Yep.
We'll get to Travis Hamonic in a second.
Oh. Best deal of the trade deadline.
Please. It's not even close.
Last thing I want to mention before we move on to trade deadline stuff. So, like, if this Dadonov move doesn't work, the Golden Knights are screwed, right? Because if all the players are trying to, I mean, the salary cap and the LTIR and all that, like, how are they going to bring back a player before the playoffs? How is that going to work? They might not even make the playoffs.
They injure someone else. Like, oh my gosh, just like, you know, like get a stick and just like bash someone's knee or something. And
say, but like, but at this point, they're like clinging by a thread in the playoffs. That extra injury might hurt them.
That's not being talked about enough, man. Like, there is a legitimate chance they miss.
I mean, that's the funny thing, right? Like, for years, we've said Vegas does a great job of managing their cap, but they're cutting it really close. I think we found where the line is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, though? If there's one team that will find a way to figure it out, I think it's still Vegas. People are wanting the Golden Knights to collapse. Watch them some way, somehow, and end up in the Cup Finals again after all this. Watch them in the Cup Final. Watch them in the Cup Final.
If they end up after in the all Cup this. Final, nah. If they end up in the Cup Final, I'm generally going to be upset.
I love it.
I'm going to be
way
upset.
Funnier if they had a team with Mark Stone and Jack Eichel and couldn't even make the playoffs.
That would be funny. That would be so funny.
I say this as somebody who enjoys watching the Golden Knights.
Mm.
And the Colorado Avalanche, who I would be more upset for, because this is supposed to be their damn year. All the super team and getting all these pieces and all that. They're the best team according to Dom's model and everyone else is behind them and all that. And you can't get out of whatever, second or third round to get to the final because Vegas got there. We might just have to throw analytics away if that happens.
I don't know, man. I mean,
that's not true. That's
Vegas,
not true. Don't do that.
Look what Vegas did to Winnipeg, man. Winnipeg was supposed to win the cup that year. And then Marc-Andre Fleury said no. they've been falling ever since. Right? So, like, hey, well, like, we've seen it as possible.
I was in Vegas for game 5. I flew into Vegas for 36 hours to watch that game.
Damn.
It was 40 degrees. And it was probably one of the best games I've ever seen live. Like, I think the entire rink stood for the entire third period. That's awesome. Wild.
History. That's incredible. So anyway, Vegas, figure yourself out because you're going to need to do that. Fix up. What about your teams in your respective markets during the deadline? How did they go? Avery, how was it in Edmonton? I mean, I guess they kind of considered Evander Kane is their prize until they ended up with Brett Kulak. And Derek Brassard, shout out Derek Brassard, who I think only one other NHL player, actually, if you remember the trade deadline trivia quiz we did last week, one other player, I believe, has been on more teams than Derek Brassard. One other player?
Oh, one other player. Is it not Mike Sillinger?
It's Mike Sillinger, yeah. Yes. He's been traded to, I think only one other guy's been traded to more teams, or at least has ended up on more teams. Anyway, tell us about how the Edmonton Oilers did and how people are feeling there.
Okay, first things first, Brassard and Kulak, I don't mind it. And I don't mind Brett Kulak. He's a good defenseman. He is someone who will be a good depth D-man. But for the Oilers, the big thing that we've been saying on many aspects that this team needs to address and still did not do is goaltending. That is what this team is needed. I said from the mountaintops for many, many times, ride Stuart Skinner. Call him up from Bakersfield. Make him your number one goaltender. He's been your best goalie so far this year. What do? They don't do it. They don't trade for a goaltender. I want them to go and get James Reimer. Reimer's been playing great in San Jose. The Sharks aren't going to be a playoff team. He has a .916 save percentage. Go out and get James Reimer. He can still be a 1A or 1B goaltender. But instead, Ken Holland keeps insisting that he can ride out with Koskinen and Mike Smith. Mike Smith has shown his body's breaking down. He's not consistent. And you want to ride that again into a third straight playoff series? When it wasn't enough against Winnipeg, wasn't enough against Chicago, you want to go into year three with that gamble and possibly get your head kicked in against the Kings, Golden Knights, or the Flames?
You look so disappointed.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me thrice, I don't know anymore.
Bro, I don't know, man. Jeez, that you let that off from your chest.
The soul is coming out there.
Okay, I don't want Omar to talk about the Leafs yet, because I know if we let him talk about the Leafs, we're going to be here all day. So, Sam, talk about Travis Hamonic leaving from the Canucks and everything else that happened.
Like I said earlier, that was hands down the best trade of the trade deadline. I do not know how Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin managed to trade Travis Hamonic and his contract for a third-round pick, their own third-round pick.
Their old third round pick.
Opens up all kinds of possibilities.
Oh my gosh.
All kinds shout of out, possibilities.
Shout out Rachel Dory, by the way.
One literally, time. Yeah.
Absolutely. Shout out to Rachel Dory. And then they managed to get Travis Dermott. You know, it's not a. He's better than Hamonic. He's better than Hamonic, and he's $1.5 million cheaper. So, you know, it was. They didn't trade any of their big names. They didn't have any kind of massive moves, but. This was one trade deadline where the Canucks didn't trade away their assets or just randomly add to their cap space for no reason. So it was a win.
That's good. That's good. That's the most glowing review of the Vancouver Canucks we've heard on this show. Maybe ever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe ever. I'm not used to the even when Bruce There It Is was the big thing. I'm sure you found a way to bring in some negative. This
I
is
just
the most
sat
positive.
There. I was like, wait, they cleared cap space? Like, I don't understand what's happening here.
Like, is there a condition? Like, where, like what's yeah. going on?
Something
here?
Must be up. It's yeah. the fact that they got their own pick back. And I know it was traded around different trades. It's the fact that they got their own third round pick back. A third round pick for Travis Hamonic.
And man. Like that's what shocked me is that like so they unloaded the entire contract, like $3 million gone, just for a pick, and then like and rightfully so, man. Like the Sens got memed hard because it's like that's brutal.
Pierre Dorion is trying to tell fans, yo, give this man a chance.
Nah,
all right, bro, prove us wrong.
No kidding, jeez.
All right, Omar, want to tell us about the Leafs and Mark Giordano? Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, the goal for, you know, heading to the deadline was don't give up the first round pick and don't give up any top prospects. And, you know, I think that was done pretty well. And Giordano will definitely help in some regards. I think a lot of Leafs fans overall, I think it's because they're kind of along the lines of what Avery was saying in Edmonton is I think a lot of people expected an addition in goaltending. Jack Campbell's hurt. Peter Mrazek can't stop a beach ball right now. And right now it's Eric, it's, you know, it's been up to Eric Sjogren and even
what about Harry Sutteri? I thought he was supposed to be a Leaf.
Bro, listen to me. Okay. Man, like,
oh, you mean he's not a Leaf? Did someone take him off waivers?
Yo, I'm not gonna say that Harry Sateri was gonna like be a savior or anything, but like
he was gonna help them win that Stanley Cup, man. He was gonna do big things.
I don't know.
Harry Sateri played 9 NHL games. He was the answer. Man, the Leafs are really gonna miss him, man. Okay, really, they're gonna miss him. Man, I mean, just can you imagine a Leafs team with Harry Sateri in goal and number one center Adam Brooks? Man, those two players, they really would have put the Leafs over the top.
Okay, no, I'm not going to stand here and say that like Harry Sateri was going to be like Jordan Binnington and like, you know, beast away to a Stanley Cup or anything. However, it is kind of getting a little frustrating that the Leafs keep losing players off of waivers. Like, I'm not trying to meme or anything. Like, even Kyle Dubas said like in the media availability that like there is a trend, but whatever, like they're not there anymore. That's it. I think moving forward, I guess it'll be interesting to see how the team plays. I personally haven't been on the get a goaltender train. I've always been, if you improve the defense, that improves the goaltending and that makes the team better overall. Last year in the playoffs, we didn't lose the series because of goaltending. We lost the series because the Stars weren't able to do anything. So I think if the Stars remember what took place and they have that, you know, killer instinct, and I think Matthews and Marner in particular have gotten better this year, which is insane to say. And I think if you add Giordano, that kind of helps solidify the defense core a little bit. I think that helps Jack Campbell so he doesn't have to make all these crazy saves. Maybe that might also help Peter Mrazek, you know, give him an opportunity to kind of redeem himself a little bit. Or maybe Eric Sjogren, you know, ends up being that kind of crazy Binnington-like story, not Binnington specifically, because, you know, things aren't going too well for him right now, but just as far as like a random goal that kind of comes up and gives the team support. So personally, I feel good about the team after, you know, post deadline. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I'm with Omar. I think that's the really interesting thing for me right now is, do you need to have an elite goaltender? Because if you look at the two teams who I think a lot of people say on paper are amongst the best, it's got to be the Leafs and the Avs. And the one thing the Avs haven't had for years is an elite goaltender. And that's what everyone said when they acquired Kemper. They're like, what are you going to do with Darcy Kemper? That's going to be the reason they lose again. And Kemper's been good because that blue line is outrageously good. But I guess we'll see what happens in the playoffs.
So sick. I've never been so jealous of a blue line in my entire life. Like, Colorado is such a disgust. Joe Sakic is a freaking with God. Like, oh my God, such a good
pick. And then to come out and be like, we didn't want to trade our 2023 first round pick. That was the one thing that was never on the table and he didn't do it. It's like, how did you build this team?
Wild.
Just being as good of a GM as he can. But again, if the Colorado Avalanche don't go far, like I think we're at a point now with this team, with how we've hyped them up and how good they look. If they don't make the final, that's a fail. Like, even if they go to the conference final this year, it's a fail. And they don't go beyond that, it's a fail.
Yeah. Which is wild to say. Yeah. They are in that like final or bust scenario. And this is something we talked about on other episodes, is that like you do expect some changes to take place. Like Kadri's probably gonna go, you know, maybe like a $9 million contract or something like that.
You know who's gonna eventually need more money at some point too?
Nathan McKinnon.
Of course he will.
Such 6.3
is the best bargain contract in the league.
Stupid. Remember when Max Pacioretty was like making four and a half?
I remember those years.
Man, this is like that times infinity. Unbelievable. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. But yeah, to your point, like that's not gonna last forever. Like once his deal's up, like what you probably expect him to make like what 12.5 maybe 13. So it's like, yeah, like this is your opportunity. And I think a lot of teams are really seeing that. Like Colorado's doing that. I think Florida, which, and even though Florida's kind of in Leafland, you know, not winning a playoff series, I think it's actually pretty surprising how they've like gone all the way in for this. So I'm actually interested to see how they do too.
Yeah, they don't have first round picks for the next 2025,
man.
It's
holy,
they are as all in. And you know who's also going to be due for some money in a couple of years? Hart Trophy candidate Jonathan Huberdeau. That window could be 3 years. It could be as low as 2, considering how soon that contract will expire. And if he comes anywhere close near a Hart Trophy, even this year, that man is going to want some money. Alan Walsh will be calling up Bill Zito, being like,
"Yep,
hey, pay the man." Don't read Dom the Shizen too much. Again, just poking fun at the buddy, but just pay Jonathan Huberdeau. Is there a trade? I know Avery kind of mentioned the fact that the Oilers did not get goaltending. Sam seems to be pretty content with the Canucks. So Omar, was there a move you really wanted the Leafs to do, but they didn't do?
No, to be honest, like everyone will talk about like, oh, why didn't the Leafs get like Marc-Andre Fleury? But like, you know, the conversation between Kyle Dubas and Kyle Davidson got leaked onto Twitter too.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kyle Dubas's discomfort and anger and frustration. So I don't think there'd be any talk between Toronto and Chicago for a while. But like the ask, I think, was like Matthew Nyes and like a first. And like those are like two things. Like, no, first round pick, you don't want to do that. And then Matthew Nyes is literally a player that I think could play like this season. Like I wouldn't be surprised if, like after his college season, like he gets signed in. And Dubas also mentioned that they didn't want to bring on too many AHL players because they want to free up space for college free agents. So that just tells me that as soon as his season's done, like Matthew Nyes is coming over. So people will say, oh, why didn't you get Fleury? I think the price just isn't there. And I think at some point you just have to trust that your stars will show up. I think sometimes we forget the players we have on the freaking team. So it's like, you know,
you guys have Austin Matthews,
right? You know,
yeah.
God bless him.
Anyway. What the other thing I was going to mention, any thoughts on Kyle Davidson and Dubas having beef? Avery, do you have the tail of the tape? Do you like GMs beefing with each other?
I love it. And hey, after some 15 years, we didn't get Lowe versus Burke. Barn fight time. Get that barn fight going. Let's get it. Yes, Davidson, Dubas, get the barn going. Get that barn opened up. Let's get a scrap going. Get some.
They don't look like barn dudes to me.
No.
No. It might just be like a. Oh, you got an offer sheet? Okay.
Yeah, those two look like they might have to keep it to. I don't know if they play like online, like first person shooters or like COD or whatever. Like that's what I feel it has to be. Like they're not gonna go to a barn and be like, all right, meet me in Red Deer, we're gonna scrap. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't look like that. No disrespect to Kyle and Kyle. But yeah, GM's beefing. Sam, do you have thoughts on GM's beefing?
I've got no thoughts on GM's beefing.
That is totally fine. That is totally fine. Let's move on to these Leafs jerseys that Justin Bieber designed. That older people were all like, I don't care for Leafs jerseys being designed by Justin Bieber. And younger people were like, oh, I'm intrigued. But I know, Avery, you don't like dark jerseys at all. I don't know if we could put the clip of him saying, I wear a Peter Pan fedora hat, ironically. That's edgy. Dude, I saw these jerseys. I liked them. And I thought, Avery must hate these.
Here's the thing. They're dark. I don't like the dark jerseys, no. The Bieber involvement, I love it. Get more celebrities involved in designing official team jerseys. Like people are saying, oh, what's Bieber's connection to hockey? What's his connection to hockey?
He got hit by
Chris Pronger.
in a celebrity game. Like he's
playing Chris Pronger. Like,
supposed Detroit. To have a shootout thing with Jordan Binnington.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was. He was training hard for it. He didn't really like training.
It never happened.
Because of good old-fashioned COVID. That's why. Yeah, like, anyway. There's enough connections to which it works. So I don't know if people are mad about this. Hockey needs more crossover with celebrities. Hockey needs more of this crossover. People saying, why is it doing this? Promote this. And we need more of this kind of crossover in hockey world. Bring it on.
Okay, yeah, so... Man. Oh, go ahead, Omar.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, 100%. Like, if you look, the top players in, like, the NBA and the NFL, like, they're, like, celebrities. like legitimate celebrities. Do you see Connor McDavid and think he's a celebrity?
No,
he's just a dude who's good at hockey. So like, yeah, like if what, regardless of what the design is, like you have like star celebrities interested in your sport and they're willing to collab and add their two cents to what's going on. Like that has to be a win, like from a financial aspect. Right. So like, yeah, sure. Hate on the design, whatever. But like Justin Bieber has his hands on the Leafs and what they're wearing. Like that's huge, man.
Say, oh, I wasn't sure if Sam was going to cop him with a quip about the uniforms or whatever.
There was a great tweet about there being a thin blue line on the dark jersey.
I feel oddly comforted that I prefer the yellow one for some reason.
That's really funny.
That wasn't where you were expecting that to go.
That's a very dark way to go about that jersey. I can't look at that blue one ever the same again. Oof.
Man, that's funny. A thin blue.
are we ready to, before we get in more trouble, talk about our favorite hockey tweets of all time?
Oh man, that's so funny.
I feel like we should probably do that before anyone else.
Oh man.
1 year of this podcast, people. It took us a whole year before someone made a thin blue line joke.
That long, I'm shocked.
Technically, I just repeated someone else's joke. I didn't make the joke, so.
That's true. That's true. And considering what other jokes have been thrown out there, other random comments, this is just, you know, not even gravy. This is kid crap compared to some of the stuff that we get. The greatest hockey tweet of all time.
I think I thought of the joke completely differently.
Wait, what did you think?
We weren't talking about
their,
like,
actual blue line.
I was talking about, not the actual blue line. Like they're
No. Oh. You know what, Omar? You should stay in that world.
That's what I thought.
You should think that because you know what?
That's what I thought. I was like,
Omar, to be fair, that's actually what I first thought when I saw the joke and then was like, oh no, that's not what they meant.
No, that's not what they meant at all. Let's keep our heads out of that type of talk and let's get over to the greatest hockey tweet of all time. Evolving Wild, the two twins who run that website, they decided to come up with a hockey Twitter bracket featuring the best tweets of all time. I don't think we have enough time to go through a bracket of all 64 entries, but I am very interested in your final fours, or at the very least, give me your best tweets of all time. Omar, I'd like for you to start.
Sure. Should I do all four?
Give me all four and then tell me who wins.
Yeah, okay. So the first one, this is from 2013 from Bonk's Mullet. May 13th, 2013, is a day of darkness for many of us in Toronto. That was the first game 7. And the tweet was, do thousands of fans walking away from Maple Leaf Square count as a parade? which is so true, but very fun because every that was like peak, like every time like the Leafs would make an off-season acquisition, people would always say like, oh, play on the parade. So that was very pointed. Shout out to Steve Dangle on this one. It was a quote tweet where someone asked, you know, can you tweet me something inspirational to use as a quote for a school project. He said, I believed in the Toronto Maple Leafs my entire life. The least you could do is believe in yourself. That was hilarious. Tony X got famous off of Twitter from watching a St. Louis game that one time. Had a very, very accurate tweet. Honestly, why wouldn't the whole team just stand in front of the net for the last minute? Very true. Why doesn't that happen? What do you think about it? Pretty interesting. Then my number one is definitely Phil Kessel from 2016. When he wasn't named to the USA team, just sitting around the house tonight with my dog, felt like I should be doing something important, but couldn't put my finger on it. That was a shot at USA hockey when they did not name him to the team as they were losing. So that was definitely, that's my top four. The Phil Kessel tweet is definitely my number one.
Okay, Sam, I want yours.
Okay, I have four as well. I love the Jordan Eberle Taylor Hall hangman tweet. It makes me laugh absolutely every time. It also makes me want to scream because I can't look at that diagram without being like, how did you not get this? So that's number four for me. I also really love the Tyler Seguin "I got hacked" steers and clears tweet. It's also like one of the most popular tweets on Tumblr, mostly because he just accidentally has those types of comments all the time. Like, I think he once referred to Jamie Benn as a stallion.
Oh,
gonna leave that one out there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number two, I love the trade is one for one. I use it constantly. I use the screenshot over and over again. It's probably my most used screenshot. So that one for me is iconic, but my number one is also Tony X. I love the entire thread, but the goalie said fuck it and left. That is an all time tweet.
Yeah.
Only because he literally went from somebody who discovered hockey accidentally to, I think that thread probably exposed more people to hockey and made it fun than the NHL's entire marketing efforts have for the last decade.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree with that. Avery, your top four.
Okay. My top four. My final four. Well, I did have to include, like Sam, the Taylor Hall Eberle Hangman game, which was just like, guys, how can you not spell banana? Like, I that to me is just absolutely, baby, how laughing that they cannot fish a Hangman game and get banana right. That to me is just ridiculous. And then my next favorite one from the media bracket was another Edmonton one, David Staples, Edmonton Joel Ryder, talking about solving lineups at Rogers Place for urinals by peeing in a sink. Like, oh. Yo, if I catch you peeing in a sink, I'm gonna box you right there and then.
Like, hey, yo,
I'm sorry, you need to be
what's happening here?
Sorry, you are not doing that near me. No way, no how.
Oh my Jesus Christ.
One right hand.
Wow. Oh, really good.
How was that? Anyways, and my next favorite one, oh my God, of course, Tony X, the goalie said F it and left. Mm-hmm. Like, that whole thread of Tony discovering hockey, like Sam said, was incredible. Because, it was a man who never watched hockey, and out of nowhere, in 3 years, he is discussing St. Louis Blues trades and player talk and everything. Like, that is how you grow the game. That was how you grow the sport of hockey.
Absolutely.
And also he had a great tweet when the Blues won the cup where he went back to the goalies at FN and left tweet. Just like, it went full circle. It was glorious.
Yeah. No. Oh, and my last one.
Ha. Glorious. Nice. Nice. Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Oh, that's my, real my MVP fourth, tanks.
My fourth one was Steve Simmons saying, thank goodness at least don't play in the Corsi Hockey League.
Oh,
like, okay. Nothing like people who want to bash numbers because, ooh, scary numbers. Come on.
Oh, no. Advanced statistics.
Information.
Analytics. Gave score value added. Oh.
No kidding. Maybe the analytics would have told Ottawa not to freaking give up, but take the entirety of Travis Hamonic's freaking contract. I don't know.
Some people. Well, you know, I think a good old Caribbean adage is very true for GMs. Those who can't hear must feel. And I feel Pierre Dorion might have to feel when it comes to Travis Hamonic. But hey, maybe we could be wrong. I don't know. I tried to think of my four here. I really think we need to show love to John Boyce of SB Nation, who I'm a really big fan of what he's able to do on that YouTube channel for all the different documentaries that he does. And the fact that he tweeted out, why watch overtime playoff hockey when you can simply snort? Am I allowed to say this word? Can I get a nod? Can I get a shake of the nod for this? You know what? I might as well just say it and then they could just bleep it, I guess. Why watch overtime playoff hockey when you can simply snort cocaine and ride motorcycle out of a helicopter? Because that literally is what watching playoff hockey is like, especially in the first round. John Boyce found a way to capture the spirit of playoff hockey. He got it absolutely right. The Mark Donk Buzz Flibbit tweet from
Acting the Fool-man,
is a classic. And again, I apologize to acting the fooliman for initially thinking that tweet belonged to Steve Dangle. It is not the case. You know, please accept my most sincere apologies. I have an honorable mention here that I know wasn't necessarily in the bracket. And truth be told, I think if I recall correctly, the cocaine and the Buzz Flip It one might be in the same bracket. We're bending the rules. Who cares here? Dave Loza, who used to be on Twitter, no longer there anymore. He put out a tweet acting as if it was like a hockey reporter asking Barack Obama a question. It just says, talk about your presidency, because that's exactly how I envision a hockey reporter going up to the president of the United States to ask a question. Talk about your presidency. And if Barack Obama didn't give him the answer that he liked, he'd then step up and said, well, why are you being so pissy? That's exactly what would happen. And the fourth tweet that I have, and this is my winner, and I'm actually very surprised that we all overthought this, because I can't think of any better hockey tweet out there than Alan Walsh tweeting that damn sword in Marc-Andre Fleury. There's no better tweet. No one in the history on hockey Twitter, whether it's a fan, whether it's a media person, whether it's a player, no one has ever shocked us as much as Alan Walsh, a player agent, did when he tweeted out that damn photo of Marc-Andre Fleury. The man won't even speak about it on his own podcast, for goodness sakes. Like, that tweet, it's one thing for one of us or Mr. Booth, also shout out Mr. Booth,
rest who
was unceremoniously suspended in the high hours of the trade deadline. I am a fan of fake accounts, but Mr. Booth 07 does the Lord's work with some of the troll jobs he does.
When he does those tweets, I live for the replies when people just say, oh no, I got
Yo,
you just know that some media insider was sitting waiting, like they put together a portfolio of him imitating someone and they waited till right before the trade deadline to report him. Like, they timed that
shit. Gotcha, bitch.
Yeah. You know what? When he comes back, I've learned in my life never to cross Mr. Booth, because I will see like an Avery Sports with two Y's at the end making a fake trade.
Oh my God, man. It's so, I get it. I understand. Like, if you needed like to do a job and like you need the news, I understand how it's frustrating.
Yes.
But for someone who doesn't need to do that and just sees that, it's just, I live for those moments. The, oh no, I got boofed. I live for those moments, man. They're so funny.
Funny when you consider like how weird the real David Booth has gotten. Like, the whole thing is just perfect.
Yeah. Oh, dude, my God.
It's funny Mr. Booth was caught in a screenshot when he was caught impersonating Darren Dreger. Like, he's caught impersonating Dreger in real time. My gosh.
All that to say, like, I still think Alan Walsh and that tweet, I don't think anyone had, there's no one, like, the fact that, to your point about Omar, about the fact that NHL players, they don't come across as celebrities. Mm-hmm. The most outspoken person in the NHL is a player agent.
Yeah.
Like, I know in MLB and maybe in the NFL for a bit, like it was Drew Rosenhaus in the NFL for like a small second, or Scott Boras in Major League Baseball. But like, even then, the players in both of those leagues are still very interesting, or at least like more interesting than an agent. But Alan Walsh is the only guy I can really expect in the NHL world to do something like what he did with that Fleury trade.
Where would you rank Alan Walsh trying to dunk on Dom with his own screenshot from 2013?
Don't do that. I'm not trying to get in trouble. Man. I'm not trying to get in trouble. As opposed to what Alan Walsh said, I'm one of those people who actually don't think Dom is a joke. And I don't think many people at The Athletic think he's a joke anyway. But I have to be Mr. Diplomacy here, because I can't put that on.
Was so funny.
Yeah, I have to say, though, like, getting got it 4K like that, like, damn. At least he played it off, right? At least he played it off and was like, okay, like, you know, like, oh, you found that old tweet. It was clearly from years ago. But also, like, the fact that Alan Walsh is not beyond pulling out receipts just kind of shows the type of man that man is. Be careful of Alan Walsh. Thank God I have not done anything to piss that man off, but let's keep this clip going, or let's keep this clip in mind, like in a few months from now or something, if I inevitably do that or whatever. But anyway, I think we've done enough damage on this week's edition of Zone Time, on the 1 year anniversary of this great show. Always a pleasure to do these episodes with all of you. Avery, good to see you. Sam, good to see you. Omar, always a pleasure to see you, my man. And we'll see you on In the Mentions, and when the Leafs make the playoffs, I'm sure you'll do some fun stuff. And trust me, at this point, because it's pretty much going to be Edmonton. Well, Edmonton, I'm still going to miss. It's Calgary and Toronto, the two teams out of Canada who we're really going to look at for, you know, seeing if the Stanley Cup could return back to the North or whatever. And because we don't really have anyone in Calgary, we're pretty good. We're going to rely on you a lot. So I hope you're ready for tears.
You don't think the Canucks are going to take that wild card spot?
I mean,
I can't even get it.
If Vancouver passes the Oilers,
yo man, yeah. I don't know what that's like megaton chaos, man. If imagine hockey Twitter, if Vancouver gets in and Edmonton misses, just I think the website would shut down.
Mr. Booth would impersonate himself as Connor McDavid and ask a trade. That's what I think Mr. Booth would be.
Yeah,
want out.
Or if I was Mr. Booth, I'd do that. And again, as a media person, I would know, like, okay, like it says Mr. Booth. But could you imagine if Mr. Booth had that sense of chaos?
Someone's getting fooled for sure.
Someone getting fooled for sure. It's gonna be like Jim Matheson or something.
Yeah, but to that point, and I think that would be a story, like, as you know, as the rest of the season goes on, like, what does Connor McDavid do if that happens, like, legitimately? And like, do you trust if Ken Holland sits you down and says, hey Connor, you know what, we'll get him next year, like, I don't know, man. I don't know what they could say to convince him to not ask for a trade. I think the only way he doesn't, it's just because, like, hey, I'm Connor McDavid. I don't want to be a distraction. I'm the captain of the team. But like, man, like, I don't know how you go back to the Oilers if they miss completely. Like, it's one thing to be eliminated.
Because if he stays, that's not consistent with his message. Because in the All-Star game or the All-Star weekend, remember, he was like, I don't care about all these individual player awards. I don't care about all that stuff. I care about winning. And if the Edmonton Oilers are not in the business of winning or doing right by you, and you're just like, no, I just want to stay here, I have questions. I would never question him and say he doesn't want to win, but I have questions about how he feels about that situation. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think another thing too, like, would you even trust Ken Holland to make the deal? I wouldn't.
At that point, if they miss, at that point, the only man and the two men I want to see standing for next year, if they miss, are Woodcroft and Dave Manson. That's it. Holland, you're gone. Nicholson, you're gone. Start clean, start fresh, hire outsiders. I don't want to see any more guys who are GMs or presidents who are with Hockey Canada or who played in the team 25 years ago. Hire the best people. I don't care if you didn't play for the team or not from the area. Hire the best ones to win with McDavid. I don't care.
Apropos of nothing, Connor McDavid's no movement clause kicks in next season. Apropos of nothing.
Now, has it actually been filed? Like, do we know that? Like, is it there? That's why I just want to.
Tweet in that scenario would be a fake Connor McDavid tweet being like, I waive my no movement clause. Just on
that's
Twitter.
That's all he has to do. That's it. Yes.
Hey, I've said
that's
before,
all he has to do.
If Connor wants out, an opposing team is going to have to give up picks and possibly multiple top six players.
Literally,
do you do that? Do you want to sacrifice? You're not getting him for nothing. You're getting him for a bona fide elite player coming back the other way too.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the same team trading Gretzky and McDavid?
And at least Edmonton won cups before they traded Gretzky too, right? Like, man.
For Jimmy Carson, didn't want to be at Edmonton. Like, Jimmy Carson did not want to be at Edmonton.
Yeah, and here's, if we're looking at, if Tampa Bay is willing to trade two first rounders for Brandon Hagel, you got to trade 22 first rounders for Connor McDavid.
I don't even know how to even like mock up a Connor McDavid trade. Like, I, because like the skill is one thing, but even like the salary, man, like
Omar, yeah, if we Omar, honestly, if we get wrapped up in trying to decipher what a trade for Connor McDavid would look like, we do an entire hour of another hour of this episode.
Yeah.
And producer Kieran Breen, who still is not up on Euphoria, and I don't think he's up on the Batman yet. He's trying to get to that point. So he's trying to get us to end the show. So anyway. Mm-hmm. Friends, thank you all so much for being on this week's edition of Zone Time. Thank you all for listening or watching wherever you consume podcasts. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode of this great show. Happy birthday to us, and thank you so much for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.